May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1108. Breathe from the gentle south, O Lord, and cheer me from the north. Blow on the treasures of thy word, and call the spices forth. 1108.
Let us read together for our instruction from Psalm 119, commencing at verse 137 and reading to the end of the psalm. Psalm 119, and commencing at verse 137. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, Yet do not I forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. I cried with my whole heart, "Hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes." I cried unto thee, "Save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies." I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, "I hoped in thy word." Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved, because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplications come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. The Lord bless his own word to us and help us to pray. Gracious and merciful Lord God, thou who art in the heavens and we are here upon the earth, poor fallen creatures, the dust of the earth, and as it is written, dust thou art, to dust thou shalt return. But Lord, we pray that thou wilt grant us that life, that we may live as unto thee, to walk in those ways of truth, to be found as loving thee because thou hast loved us, as those, Lord, that are humbled under thy mighty hand, and therefore we love thy precepts. But, O Lord, we have a proud and arrogant heart, and often, Lord, we find we are carried away with a covetous spirit, and therefore we lust after the things of this world. But, Lord, as we now entered into thine house, could it please thee to subdue the spirit of our carnal self, and grant us, Lord, the spirit of life as it is in Jesus, that we who have his example set before us in the scripture may take heed to it, and that we may desire to be a follower of him, and to observe those things that he did, the condescension, the mercy that was shown to the poorest, the vilest, the helpless ones, those that were sinners indeed, and could in no wise do one good thing, either to lift themselves up or to put forth the hand. For, Lord, we know that through sin it is withered, but under thy command we may stretch forth that which then does evidence the life of faith, that we may seek to lay hold upon that eternal life. Lord, we pray that we might know the power of that life, working within, making all things new, and oh, that we may be found as new creatures in Christ. We know, O Lord, that severed from thee, we can do nothing. Without thee, we are but lost. But, Lord, may it be that the light that does now shine may shine into our hearts, that we might be followers of that light, even our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who said, I am the light of the world. Oh, then, Lord, may we prove that our little world is enlightened, and that we might see and be able to say with one whose eyes were opened, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. We pray that there may be those even gathered who do seek to know these things, and desire that they may be found in that way, and though as beggars, yet to obtain some token of thy love, as though what they may feel as wayfarers, yet though fools, not to err in that when they have such a guide and one that they can follow, and the truth set before them in the sacred canon of Scripture, that they with the psalmist may say, concerning thy word, how they love it. O Lord, we sometimes, though, have to confess that because of our flesh, the flesh lusting after the things of the flesh, we are ready to push that aside, the precious word, and to take up something which is trivial and base and empty. Oh, what vanity we might find expressed in our newspapers. And yet, Lord, our old self will be ready to pick that up, even in preference to thy word. Oh, forbid it, Lord. Do grant that we may therefore find that that which may tell us all things concerning what we need to know, that we may seek after that. For not only will it declare what life is, but also that which is to come. And that, Lord, which thy people, having the Spirit working in them, long to enjoy. O Lord, at times we believe we can say, weary of earth, myself and sin, dear Jesus, set me free. Lord, we pray then that we might be brought into that liberty of the gospel, which is a foretaste of that which we may enjoy when our life here is ended, and then to know that life above. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt grant thy mercies upon each that knowest the varied situations in which they are found, the difficulties, the trials, the troubles, and the burdens that they may have to carry and bear. Lord, we do commend them to thee. Do go before in this uncertain world. Make crooked paths straight, rough places plain. Do, Lord, then help them to lean hard upon thee. Oft found at the throne of grace, seeking that thou wilt guide them with thine eye, and then, when thou hast brought them through, receive them into glory. Lord, we pray that thou wilt also look upon the young, the rising race. Oh, how we do desire to see them constrained to follow thee. But Lord, we pray that they may know that gracious witness of thy Spirit with their spirit, that they may have that humble hope found in them, even that good hope, to know that their hope is centered and anchored upon the one that has gone before. And therefore, O Lord, they may feel a sweet consolation at times, and not cast away their confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. that after they have done the will of God, they may then prove that a faithful God brings them at last. Lord, we do pray for the young that are not gathered here because they are but tender in age, babes, and those that may still be in their infancy. Lord, we do desire that some good thing may be found in their heart. None are too young, we know, but Lord, we pray that thou mayest put a hedge, as it were, about them to keep them from the evils that abound, and particularly when they have to face the varying things of life. And so, Lord, may they find that their interests are found where thy people are, and that they desire, therefore, to come to the house of God. And Lord, we are thankful that there are those that evidence that desire. Then there are those, Lord, that may be detained, having entered into the business world, not able perhaps to gather. Some may be away from home. We commend them to thee. We would, Lord, pray that they would look upon any in sickness and laid aside, to grant, Lord, thy healing hand. And then there may be, Lord, those that are aged and in their infirmities. We commend them to thee also. We do, Lord, pray that thou wilt grant thy mercies upon thy people that walk much in a sense of darkness. Oh, could it please thee, Lord, to help them to trust in thee. Though they may not have the light they desire, yet, Lord, do guide them in life's path. We do, Lord, also pray that thou wilt be mindful of those that far feelingly are far off, but may they be brought nigh, even in their own feelings, as well as actually brought there through the mercy and grace of God by that precious blood that was shed, made nigh by the precious blood, the mercy seat sprinkled, so they can venture, so they can pour out their case before thee. And Lord, we pray that they may receive answers of peace. We do pray that thou wilt grant that sense of peace which passeth all understanding, felt and known by those that may be brought to see the man of peace by faith, and to know it is, as we sometimes sing, peace by his cross hath Jesus made the church's ever-living head. We do, Lord, mourn the sad state in which we find ourselves in this day and generation. The evils that abound, iniquity flowing down our streets, equity cannot enter, men ever seeking some form of equality, and yet they obtaining it not, but rather, O Lord, are breaking down the distinctions which do bring what will be a unity of mind which only those who are enlightened by the Spirit can know. But Lord, we do desire that in this world where there is divisions and oppositions and enmity and violence and wickedness, oh, to arise for the sake of thy little remnant. And Lord, could it please thee, be thou our buckler and shield. Preserve us in this solemn, awful day. And our nation, we mourn, Lord, that we have departed so from the statutes that were once upon our statute book. And that, Lord, has been, and those, Lord, have been either replaced or countered by other legislation which allows then men to do what is right in their own eyes and bring not the things to the touchstone, the word of God. But Lord, we pray that men of integrity may be raised up and that we may again be guided and directed to the word of God, and that we may again enjoy thy Sabbaths, when there will be a seeking unto thee and a gathering together, and when, Lord, we find that there is the respect for thy word, for thy servants, for those that seek after thee, and that the desires of many may be to be found as one amongst thy people. But Lord, we know not what is before us. We pray these things, but we do know this, that the time must come when this earth shall be rolled away as a scroll, burn with a fervent heat, and there will be that division forever between sheep and goats. And, O Lord, may these things, therefore, solemnize our minds and cause us to tremble. Lord, we are thankful that it must be well with thine own dear people. And so may we, in looking up and continuing on, seeking that there will come, even as we read in the closing chapter of the scripture, and the church's desire, that there will come, even so, come, Lord Jesus. So may we look also to these, to that day, a day which shall for thy people be a blessed and glorious day, when the things of time will be ended, and the glories of that eternity with thee may be known by all the sheep gathered then into the fold. And now, Lord, help us, we pray. Send help from the sanctuary. Be all that we need in hearing and in speaking. And pardon us of our every sin. And make up in giving where we fail in asking. So we ask these things for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 333. O my soul, what means this sadness? Wherefore art thou thus cast down? Let thy griefs be turned to gladness, Bid thy restless fears be gone. Look to Jesus and rejoice in his dear name. 333.
Thank you.
As the Lord may be pleased to help me, I direct your attention to the psalm we read, Psalm 119, and the last two verses, verses 175 and 176. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Psalm 119, the verses 175 and 176. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Let my soul live. It is a prayer. It is a desire. It is a longing that was expressed by the psalmist. Is it expressed by your own heart and soul? Do you desire that your soul may live? We are dying. We are born into this world, and from the very moment that we are born, then we begin to die. The day is appointed when we shall be no longer in life here. Where shall we then be? Shall we know the blessings of that life above, eternal life? Then we must know something of that eternal life here. And if we know not what eternal life is, whilst walking in this wilderness, for that is what the world will be to you when the Holy Spirit begins his work, first to make you realize the barrenness, the emptiness, the vanity, the foolishness, the lifelessness of things here in this world. But oh, then to know the life, the glory, the substance, the wonder, the blessing that comes through Jesus Christ. He who condescended to come into this world, that poor, unworthy, wretched sinners who often fear that they have nothing, often fear that they are as those sheep going astray, realizing their need of being sought out. But that is the encouragement that we find given in the word, sought out, not forsaken. But the world, they may think that they have everything that they wish as far as this world is concerned, only to find that they neither seek him because he seeks not them. God searches not for them, but he searches out those his own sheep. And he will find them, and he will bring them. And therefore is that a concern in your soul? Has he brought me? Now, am I one that is, as it were, tending upward? Many difficulties, many fears, many troubles, but still there is a pressing on. What has brought it about? The work of the gracious Spirit. Because we will not seek the things that are eternal unless the gracious Spirit begins that concern. But there is a concern to be found in the hearts or in the souls of those that live. And as we experience true life, then we know something of what is death. A soul lost is then one that is found. And I repeat, as it comes to mind, one of the little incidences that a deacon at Tenterden experienced, Mr. Walter Gibb, who was also a faithful minister. And he was walking home from the little chapel at Stone when the one that he was walking with suddenly burst out and said, "It is true. It is true." Mr. Gibb said to him, "Friend, what is true?" He said, "A soul does not find itself until it's lost. But those that know their lostness will also know that they have a soul to save. A soul that might live. A soul that might enjoy the things that are bestowed upon them in divine and sovereign love. A soul that may be brought from the dust and raised to know the power of that life. A soul that is there discovered at on the dunghill, but is set then amongst princes. A soul that may be in the depths, but raised to the heights of the blessings that are found in Christ alone, who first descended into the lowest parts of the earth, your earth, to come where you were, where you are, where you may yet be, there in the ditch. But as those are even those that may care little for your soul will perhaps seek to drag you from the ditch, but he comes and he tenderly lifts you out, cleanses, and then makes you to stand again upon the feet. And oh, when we stand no longer in our own strength, no longer in the things in which we once delighted, but now to stand in the blessed knowledge of what God is, and what God can do, what God has done. And we may ask the question, has he done anything, poor sinner, for your soul? Then this will be the cry of that, of your soul, that I may live. That I may live. The worldling does not want to live in that way. They may want to live up, as they say, they'll have a good life, but to live with a sweet expectation that when all is done, you may have an abundant entrance into heaven itself. But now, you'll come to hate sin. You'll come to hate the things that the world seeks after, all its vanities, its pleasures, its worldly corruptions. You will find there is that aching void. It aches because it has not got, perhaps at that present time of feeling, what it desires and longs for. So it cries out, "Let my soul live." Ah, the pains of death are felt, and oh, how to escape from them, we know not, we cannot. We find, as the Apostle says, that the good that he would, he did not, the evil that he would not, that he did, and how to escape from those things he knew not. But he did know this, that when he came to cry, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He had the answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ. Well, let my soul live. Our soul shall live when it can look to the one who is the life. And how shall we look to him that is the life? By that blessed God-given gift, faith. Faith which will rejoice in what it sees. And a poor, needy sinner will see that here is a precious Christ who can wash and cleanse and save unto the uttermost those that are at their greatest distance, afar off. Ah, so we are at the ends of the earth. The psalmist came there himself, and I will turn to where it is expressed. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. And the psalmist, there he brings a pause, a greater pause than what has been in the verses so far, in the verse so far. I will read it again. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. Then this pause, this consideration. Perhaps we may interject what we have read in our text. Let my soul live. And then go on, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Well, when we therefore consider the great need of those that are brought into the exercise and concern over their own soul, when they have to mourn because of sin, mourn because they have not what they truly desire, and seek continually for it, and we are made seekers, and a living soul whilst this side of the grave will ever be a seeker. But the great hope and the great blessing will be that when we have passed the Jordan of death, we shall then be an obtainer. We shall have what our soul truly desires. The Asaph, you know his case in the 73rd Psalm. He was envious at the wicked. His poor feet began to slip. He thought they were better off. No bands in their death. But when he entered into the sanctuary, into the house of God, he saw what their end was. Their end was eternal death. Their end was to be without God, without hope, either in this world and also in the world hereafter. They would sink into perdition. there they would be as the ones whose worm dieth not, and their tongue is not quenched. There they will know the burnings which will consume them, that which they rejoiced in, their wretched pride, yet now they have to suffer on account of it, having exhausted themselves as gods or above God, as men do. We see it particularly in this our day. Beware of the spirit of the world. But dear friends, what is their end? But now Asaph, he came to know what his beast-like case was. I was a beast before thee. But he was given a sweet hope and a sweet confidence. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. And again, in the next verse, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. There we see the seeker. My flesh and my heart faileth. And so often it does. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. With living faith, he grasps, as it were, heaven itself in his arms. Well, these experiences, they may be few and far between. Indeed, if once you have had a sense of your desire for heaven, then it can never be plucked away from you. Though there may be times when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, though there may be times when Satan would seek to rob you of your comforts in the truth and gospel, though there may be times when you are much burdened with the cares of life and you know not perhaps how to drag along, yet here is your cry. Here is your prayer. Here is the hope of your soul. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. Let my soul live. We may ask the question, how shall it be that our soul is brought to live? Well, you may say, we can only live by that regenerating work of the Spirit. How true that is. We must be born again. There must be that beginning. The glorious day that comes, that quickens your soul into life. The beginning of that life may be to know the awfulness of your own wretched self, as the Holy Spirit convinces of sin, as he shows you exactly what you are by nature. But there is a quickening of life, for it is only by life that we know what death is. The dead know not anything. But it is certain that the living will be brought as Hezekiah was when he said, the living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. Hezekiah had come, as it were, from the pit of death. The Lord had told him he would die and not live. Not only literally, but how was it to be? brought a gracious, godly man who had done much in preserving the people by seeking the Lord and obtaining deliverance from the enemy. You know the account, you can read it for yourself in those chapters in the Kings and the Chronicles and then in Isaiah. And there we see Hezekiah brought after those things to sickness and to face death. But the Lord raised him up. It was from that affliction that Hezekiah may plead, "Let my soul live." Indeed, life may be again granted, years added to his life, because he had no heir. And such was his state, place, and position in life. Such was he placed in that, what shall we call it, the royal line of which the promised seed would come. And if therefore there was no heir, what of the promised seed? What of the hope? All brought to nothing. Ah, can it be? Can God's purpose be brought to nothing? Can God's promise cease to be brought about? No, no. But the Lord would humble his servant. And that is the way that the Lord so often works. He humbles us. And in that humbling, we prove that our soul lives. It is therefore often, when those things come into our lives which may bring an exercise of prayer, an exercise of prayer. And you will find that whatever prayers you have put up in the days of your unregeneracy, and perhaps brought up under the sound of the gospel, brought up by godly parents, being taught the word from your youth, and all these things you may know, and yet, however many times you may have prayed, the repetition of the prayers that you have been taught, they have never savoured of any life. The Apostle Paul, or should we call him Saul of Tarsus, though doubtless many have been his prayers, as the Pharisees would not have neglected that duty, but they never knew the prayer of faith. They never knew what it was to pray from the depths of either despair or sorrow or shame or grief. They did not carry the burden of sin. But now, Saul of Tarsus, met by the one whom he persecuted, brought to the ground, blind now, led forth. Oh, how humbling. He had led many, and he was leading those now to hail the true followers of Christ to prison. But the Lord dealt with him. Oh, what a mercy. And the apostle speaks of it. But I obtained mercy. Yes, he did it ignorantly. Could he truly know what the real path was till he was brought to walk in it? But how quickly he was found there. What was the commendation that was given to Ananias, who was commanded to go to this man? I've heard much of this man. Behold, he prayeth. Let my soul live. Here as we began our discourse saying it is a prayer. This is the desire now when brought almost to the pit of despair. Your soul begins to pray. Let my soul live. But there are many times in the experience of your life, having been quickened by the gracious Spirit, in which you will say, let my soul live. And the Lord brings those trials into our life. Some of them are trials in providence to exercise us in the way of grace. And the Lord uses those things to bring us to prayer, not only to pray concerning the providential circumstances, but in it to pray with regard to your own soul, desiring that the Lord will bring some sweetness, some blessing, some token, something out of this adversity that may be good. At present, the bud has a bitter taste, but you plead in it that the Lord will sweeten the bitterness, and then you shall live. You will feel to live because of the Lord's gracious goodness, because of his mercy. And now when we say, let my soul live, it is that we desire to see that mercy made evident. For it is through mercy that we live, not through any good works that we have done, not by being able to say, well, we at least are not like this publican, as the Pharisee did. No, beating thou upon your breast, confessing, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. To then go down, as it were, to your house justified through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there you view, you have a glimpse of the mercy, the condescension of your God who has stooped so low. Ah, the psalmist in that 136th psalm, there has such a word which must breathe comfort to us at times if we are amongst those that say, let my soul live. Who remembered us in our low estate for his mercy endureth forever. Well, the mercy of the Lord will be a wonderful thing. And when the mercy of the Lord is revealed, then you will praise him. Let my soul live. And it shall praise thee. And it shall praise him. To know his condescending love. You who were bitter against him. You who rose up against him in anger perhaps. Because of those things that might have disturbed your peace and ease. When you enjoyed the things of this world. But now you find there is a peace, even in the midst of your trouble. a peace which passeth all understanding. I remember in my early days of teaching, I had a class that I had many difficulties with. And such was the case that it seemed that I would fail in that probationary year, as it was called. And so I would then have to look for a different avenue to go with regard to future life. And I came that particular morning to the end, as I felt. I could go on no longer. Such were the difficulties and troubles, and the blackness that seemed to stare me in the face of the future. And I left to go my way home. And I told the Lord I could not continue. And then it was as though these words were spoken into my soul. Art thou miserable? I said, Lord, I'm utterly miserable, so cast down. And this was the response that seemed to speak within. Sink thy misery in the sufferings of Christ. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. It was a turning of my captivity in the very situation that I was in, not only providentially, but also spiritually. Ah, then, these judgments that are spoken of in our text, they are judgments that the Lord will bring to work together for our good. The Lord's judgments are ever right judgments. When the Lord permitted Satan to trouble Job and to seek to test him to the utter limits of his strength, then Job was brought to know some very precious things. Let thy judgments help me. Yes, how he was helped in those times when it seemed he reached rock bottom. Think of the words, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know. Can you say that when you're at rock bottom? Well, you can, if you find that the sum of this text is your whole desire and longing. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. And let thy judgments help me. Because it is by these things that men live. As Hezekiah expressed it, if he had not been in that particular trouble that the Lord had brought him into, and it was by a way of judgment, we may perhaps express it with another word, a moment of chastening, to bring down any pride in our heart, which may not perhaps be seen. We may not observe that pride has been rising up. We've even been testifying of the Lord's mercy, of all his deliverances, as Hezekiah doubtless was. Ah, but nonetheless, he was lifted up. The Lord knew how to bring him down. It was a good judgment. It was to work a perfect work. It was to bring about that life. That life in which he would then praise his God. And so we pass through many experiences the Christian, the living soul, passes through these things only to know what God can do. Those disciples that had witnessed the wonder of God in making provision for 5,000 men, beside women and children, from the five loaves and two fishes. And one had said, "What are these amongst so many?" And yet, when constrained to go into the ship, they would then pass over to the other side, or seek to, and they would then go like those that are expressed in the 107th Psalm, "They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord." And there they had to prove that what they had so quickly forgotten. And you will remember, no doubt, that as we read on, they came to a time when they were on a ship again, but Christ was with them. And our Lord tested them with these words, to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And they thought it was because they had no bread. They had no bread. How quickly they've forgotten of the gracious provision when there was the hunger. But you see, hungry souls will say, "Let my soul live." And those that were in need, lest they should faint by the way, were supplied bodily. Not all understood, or perhaps few realized what it was to be satisfied spiritually. Yes, they beheld what they had received, but they had not considered the miracle. They had not considered its meaning. They had not thought that here was the one who was not only to break the bread, but who was himself that bread of life sent down from heaven. They did not by faith behold the broken body, which is received by true believers in the experience of it. And oh, it may then serve this to make you desire to partake of that ordinance which sets it forth. Do you have a desire for those things? "Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee." When you are able to testify of the Lord's dealings with your soul and all that he has done. But I am passing from one thing to another. Let me return to those disciples there on the sea, in the storm, not able to manage the ship, toiling and rowing. Then they saw this one coming towards them, the Spirit, that which would then consume them, and that would be their plight. "Be not afraid, it is I." He comes in the storm. He comes then that he might show his goodness and mercy as well as his divine power, and that they might know the particular blessings of peace. Many are the troubles, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But when your soul will live to experience this peace, though those judgments, those things that the Lord has appointed and to test you, to try you, to prove you. But let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. Yes, they then testified that thou art the Christ. And that is a great blessing, when we can so testify of him, the Christ that has performed that work of his grace within, that your soul may live, does live, and shall yet live. But as we find in this verse, the second verse that we read to you, although the psalmist's desire and prayer had been, let my soul live, yet he had to confess, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. We often prove that our old self is of a wandering nature. Oh, how we are apt to stray. Turn to the right and turn to the left. But the Lord has compassion upon these poor wandering, straying ones. He leaves the 99. And has he come to seek you out? To search you out and to bring you again into the comforts of what you have enjoyed. The Lord is not a harsh master, though he may deal sometimes with you in what the flesh would call harsh and what may seem hard, but you will thank him for it after you have been brought again. My mind just goes to Bunyan's picture or description of the pilgrims when they went astray, led by the one who led them into a path that seemed right enough, but he brought them into a net. There they could not escape until the shining ones came and delivered them and brought them again back to the path from which they had roamed. And when they brought them back, they commanded the two pilgrims to lie down, and they beat them. And the pilgrims thanked them. Oh, a chastening which you'd prove and see as being a righteous chastening. You will know it's of the Lord. You will then be thankful for it. Though the old nature may fret, yet here you can see the Lord's goodness in preserving you from going perhaps into worse things, into those things that you were left to would have met with destruction. Ah, but here is the keeping power. The keeping power, when the Lord commands his chastening upon us, we won't forget it. We won't forget it. And that may in itself be a preservation. Oh, have there been those times when the Lord has so dealt with you that now you tremble? You tremble to hearken to those deceivers and to go after them. You desire now to be kept. Let my soul live. Keep it in thy gracious power. Keep it, Lord, my soul, in thy truth and in thy holy love. Ah, let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. Yes, these deliverances, they are sweet, though, as we've already expressed, the bud has a bitter taste, but sweet is the flower. Sweet is that work of salvation. Salvation is the work of deliverance. When our soul is delivered, we may then see that our sufferings were little compared with his. What he had to suffer to deliver us from the power of sin and of death, to deliver us from this godless world, to deliver us from hell itself and from the power of temptation and Satan, who is our tempter. But he who was tempted, that gives the strength to the tempted, because in that temptation, he gave the perfect answer, his own word, his own word. And have you come to love the word which gives the perfect answer? You may say, often when I need it, it seems as though it goes from me. But the Spirit doesn't forget it. The Spirit knows its own word. And it is the Spirit that will bring a faith to utter it unto the and in the face of the enemy. And now the enemy cannot stand when such is brought before him. He must flee and leave the poor helpless one. In all his helplessness, but we have a ready hand to help us, to lift us up, to restore. He restoreth my soul. What comfortable words those are. He restoreth my soul. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. And it shall be able to say, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So let me just come then to a conclusion. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. This is a great consolation to those of us that know what our wayward hearts are like. When the Lord has put his work of saving grace in your soul, he writes it. And all that is written are those holy things which will be the means of granting you a tender conscience. The law written upon stone will only condemn, but the law written upon the fleshy tables of your heart, those sweet commandments, now, yes, you would love and desire to love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and mind and spirit. Then you would say, let my soul live that this may be ever so. But also you cannot deny that the Lord has written those things there. Otherwise, you will not detest and hate the things that grieve him and that now grieve you. You would continue indulging in every sin, but now You come to what the hymn writer says, I hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast. The gracious Spirit who is my teacher and comforter, and now I mourn an absent God, but I'll return, O heavenly dove, return. Bring those comforts again. Yes, let my soul live, for I do not forget thy commandments. The commandments of the Lord are not grievous to a living soul. No, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. When we can see that those things are precious, then we will know that the shalls and the shall nots, they are what we would seek to live by and not, and die by, and not to be found in the waywardness of which our old flesh is so prone. Oh, then, deliver my soul from going down into the pit. That was again what the psalmist feared, and what his prayer, his sincere prayer was. And it may indeed have been and still is much your prayer. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbours, but mischief is in their hearts. Then you may come to this. Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Amen.
Willing, Mr. Graham Cottingham is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and there will be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Izzard is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 535. Oh, the love of Christ to sinners, who can make its wonders known? Sin-born slaves through grace of winners of a bright celestial crown, Jesus gives us endless glory and renown. 535.
May the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with us each evermore. Amen.